Megan, I have a great idea.
What?
A show about Magic the Gathering.
Okay.
But not for pro players. They can listen if they want.
Okay.
But mostly for amateur players.
How is that different from what we're doing right now?
Ooh, we're already doing that?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
Why did you think you had this microphone in front of you?
I'm glad that I had this idea twice in my life, because having it again was just as magical as the first time we had it.
I just want to ask one more time, like, why you thought you had a microphone in front of your face?
I go through life thinking there's a microphone in front of my face. I feel like I'm always in an episode of The Truman Show.
But he didn't know the microphones were there.
Yeah, I'm in one, but I know the microphones are there. Like, I've got one up on them.
Wouldn't that be fundamentally a different show?
If the person knew?
Yeah.
Then it would be the Kardashians.
Oh, yep. We just invented reality television.
Wow, great idea.
We reverse engineered it. Hey, everybody. This is, in fact, a show for Magic players, whether they be players old or new, veteran or amateur, tall or short.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Everything.
Hat wearing, anti-hat.
Long fingered, short fingered.
Mm-hmm. Like, generally clean footed, or like, just can't seem to keep it under control.
Do they like to say pants or slacks, like my grandma would say?
Yeah.
Anybody. Anybody's welcome at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Magic the Amateuring, which it a is. Lot of people actually give us some crap for these days, because Megan and I do have our first pro points. No big deal. But we do still like to focus on newer players with the show, with a segment we always do every week, For the Noobs. And we've got a great For the Noobs coming up on the episode today, in fact.
That's right. I am Megan, by the way, one of your hosts.
I'm Maria, one of your other hosts.
And together, we're Megria.
Maregan.
Margan.
No, these are good. No. We also have Ghost Host, who joins us every week, giving ghostly insights here and again.
Mm-hmm.
Great host. We don't want to leave Ghost Host out. Nope. Thanks for being there every week, buddy. What a good joke. Ghost Host is really funny, you guys. I hope you're hearing this. Anyway, besides For the Noobs this week, we're going to talk about calculated risks on For the Noobs.
That's right. Then we're going to chat about GP Sydney, which was on coverage this past weekend, as well as our own drafts that we've been participating in now that the set is on Magic Online.
Yes. Yeah, we drafted and watched coverage at the same time, mm-hmm. thus completing a time vortex. It was amazing.
In which hours passed, but we moved not at all.
If somebody looked at us at any given hour and then looked at us again 3 hours later, it would be the same picture.
The same.
It's like we're in a tableau.
Then we're also going to have a mailbag.
Yes.
Some mailbag questions.
Yeah, I actually recorded a live mailbag segment from our local draft, so that's going to be really fun. I assaulted a player it was their first draft ever, and I wanted to recapture that feeling in my soul, so I tried to live through them as they did their first draft, and they had a question, which we'll answer. Of course, your questions are always welcome, magicthamaturing@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter @MTAcast. If you have any questions at any point, 3 a.m., tweet at us.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Also, if you just walk out your front door and shout your question into the night,
yeah,
we'll hear it.
We will. Megan has great hearing.
I do.
Like a little wolf
but
ears.
Only if you're shouting at night.
During the day, you won't hear it.
It's about average.
Of course, hearing you can join our family on patreon.com/mtacast. Thank you to everybody who's become a new family member over the past week. I want to ask you this question, Megan.
Yes.
If somebody stole $1 out of your checking account every week, would you notice?
No, I really want the answer to be yes.
I'm not telling people to try and steal from Megan.
All right.
I'm trying to make a point. If our show was not on every week, would you notice?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. See, it's valuable enough to the point where you should just give $1 a week because you wouldn't even notice that it's gone.
Yeah.
But if the show was gone, I would be very sad.
Agreed.
So if that's true for you as well out there in listener land, mm-hmm. consider giving us $1 a week and you won't even know. You won't even know that's gone, likely.
If you keep your money stuffed in mattresses in your home, mm-hmm. step outside at night and throw that dollar into the night.
Megan, we'll catch it. We'll get it. Of course, on Patreon.com, not only do you get great rewards for being a patron of the show, but you also get extra content. Every week we do 5 extra minutes of something non-magic related, sometimes magic related, that we post, and only patrons can hear it. It's a great little bonus. We also do special thank yous for patrons when we reach certain levels. We just released some audio of Coverage Gentleman Extraordinaire. Tim will be reading Everyone Poops, but you can only listen to that if you're a patron, so get on over there if you want to hear that lull you to sleep at night. patreon.com/mtacast, the land where dreams come true. For the noobs, calculated risks. Get out those graphing calculators, everybody, because it's time to delete all the useful programs and install Mario or Tetris on there. Did you do that in high school?
No.
Yeah.
We didn't have calculators much, though.
Did you use an abacus?
Yep. Straight abacus work.
Well, you know what? It's actually probably good, because those guys are expensive.
Yeah.
And people did not use them for what they were supposed to be used for. We just installed games on them.
Like, I don't remember. We didn't have the option to install anything on them.
Oh.
We just, like, I think only checked them out for the duration of class. Or, yeah, like, if you had homework that required one, then you could check one out for homework.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
But you didn't, like, have one for a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, like, what, we had to, like, buy them and stuff, and it's like, what am I ever going to use this for?
Oh, we definitely did not have to purchase them.
Oh, boy. Graphing calculators. Anyway, you don't actually need them for this segment, because when we talk about calculated risks, we're not talking about calculators at all. What's going on, Megan?
I know people who have worked for Texas Instruments.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you lived in Texas.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Are they down there?
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know.
Where did you think they were?
Sometimes, you know, like, you know, big California pizza company, you know, that's not in California every time. They're a chain.
Well, you can get Texas Instruments calculators outside of the state of Texas.
But they're based in Texas.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some kind of state name-based business that is not based in that state.
Someone named one today. The New York Grilled Cheese Company is in Florida.
What liars? How could they?
Right?
By the way, who wants a New York grilled cheese? That's not the first state I think of when I want a grilled cheese.
I don't know. Maybe people in Florida don't know the difference.
Man.
They don't realize that New York isn't known for grilled cheese. They're just like, okay, yep, this sounds good.
I don't know about you, but I'd want a Wisconsin grilled cheese if I'm getting a grilled cheese.
Nobody wants Wisconsin anything unless it's booze.
We love you, Wisconsin listeners. We truly do.
I bet you most people from Wisconsin will even tell you it's like, number one, beer, and then, like, there's a really big gap.
Well, beer and Packers are right up there.
You mean like warehouse Packers?
I mean, like, the football team.
Yeah, you've ever watched a game of football in your life?
Dude, I used to live in Green Bay.
I know.
I lived that nightmare.
That doesn't mean that you've watched a football game.
Yeah.
I went to the University of Texas, and I did watch a football game, but...
But did you really?
I did.
You sat there.
I sat there the whole time. Twice.
One time
in the sunny seats.
I actually, we would have, like, every weekend, we would watch the Packers Steeler at my friend's house, but I worked overnights at a news station, so I would always fall asleep at least by halftime, if not before.
Yeah.
Very pleasant memories, actually. Anyway, calculated risk. So, what the heck are we talking about?
That's right.
Let's think about the format of draft, for instance.
Okay.
So this past weekend we had GP Sydney, which was awesome to watch on Coverage.
It was.
And when you're drafting, you know what? Sometimes your deck just doesn't come together the way you envisioned.
No. Sometimes maybe you were in a color and then it got cut really hard. Like you picked two great cards in a color.
Yeah.
And then you started picking up, like, some mediocre cards in that color, and then it just dries up, and you're stuck with two good cards and a couple of mediocre cards and, like, a bunch of garbage.
Do you ever just envision a tumbleweed going past you as your colors dry up during the draft?
I have never pictured that.
Well, I'm going to now. That's delightful.
You're gonna make yourself picture it.
Yeah. Imagine, Maria.
Whisper to yourself, tumbleweed.
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 Yeah. Yeah, sometimes your colors dry up. Sometimes you don't get the curve that you were expecting. Like, oh, yeah. I can pick up some 2 and 3 drops later. I'm going to pick up 17 Sarah Angels. No big deal.
And then it just doesn't happen.
And then it doesn't happen. And your lowest drop is a 4. And you're like, ugh.
Yeah. Sometimes you know.
You don't have any bombs.
Yeah, sometimes you have no bombs. Sometimes there's not a clear signal.
Yeah.
And you just don't know what's going on.
Sometimes you forget to draft removal because you've been so focused on creatures.
That's right. And so these are all times where if you get to the end of, like, pack one, and you're like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. It might be time to just... to just take the plunge.
Yep.
And go big or go home.
Right. And the same
go
thing.
Go for gold.
Go
for. I'm trying to think of more.
Eye of the tiger.
Like run the whole steeplechase.
I thought you were going to say gamut.
Oh, that would have been an actual phrase.
Yeah.
But it means something different.
Yeah. Close enough.
Anyways.
Yeah, so things might go wrong in draft. Yeah. This is also true of in sealed. We're specifically talking about limited because we're thinking of decks where you can kind of adjust or change your game plan mm-hmm. while you're there. Not yes. to say you can't play differently in constructed once you know yes. what's happening to you. Say some kind of disaster is happening either in your hand or
there's
with
a
your
train
opponent.
Wreck.
Or something like that. But yeah. let's talk specifically about limited. So in sealed, the same things can happen. You can just basically not open any bombs, not open any removal. Your colors are all over the board. What the heck do you do? Do you just pack it up and go home? Or do you try and make a stand?
You take a stand.
Yes.
Like a nightstand.
You just steal somebody's nightstand from their house.
That's right. So an excellent example of this was at GP Sydney. They were filming the top eight draft.
Yep.
And they were watching Scott Lipp yep. draft. And he ended up kind of in like a green-white humans deck,
mm-hmm.
essentially, that had a lot of very surprising cards. It had like a Lunark Mantles.
Yeah.
Lupine Prototype, right?
Yeah.
And he started going into that deck kind of early because mm-hmm. It didn't look like he was getting a super strong signal to be doing something else.
Right. So his pack one, pick one was Noose Constrictor.
Yes.
Which is a snake.
Yep.
A snake card that gets a bonus when you discard. So mm-hmm. It's a pretty strong card. But after that, it kind of was like, it seemed to be going off the rails for him. Like, he didn't have a super strong curve. He didn't have a bunch of strong creatures. And yeah. it was kind of like, what do I do? He seemed to make the adjustment early on in this draft, mm-hmm. which you can go back on twitch.tv/magic and watch past broadcast of if you want to catch it. He made the adjustment early on to say, hey, if I'm not seeing some powerful cards in the colors that I've decided to go, which, by the way, I should point out that it didn't really seem, at least from watching where we were sitting, that there was another color that he should have been.
Yeah, there were a couple of good cards, but not a lot in a row.
Right, right. Yeah. So it wasn't obvious that he decided, okay, what's the best thing I can do in this situation? If I'm not going to have supremely good creature quality...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what I need to do is make a risk and take some auras, take some cards that could be good, take some equipment with creatures that are a lower power level. And it worked out for him.
Yeah, it sure did. And like, you know, traditionally a lot of traditional draft strategy says you typically don't want to take auras unless they're just like incredibly powerful. Like what was the one in... the one in the last core set that gave it protection from, like, all colors or something like that?
Oh,
remember
yes.
that one?
Are you talking about the crazy, like, shield one or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was some... It was, like, rainbowy. The art
yeah,
was really
the
cool.
Yeah, the rainbowy.
Anyway, like, that one was insane. It
that
was a rare.
That was crazy.
It was a crazy, crazy aura. We're not talking, like, that kind. We're talking about just, like, your run-of-the-mill...
+1/+1.
It's gonna boost your creatures. Maybe like on a really good day, it's going to give them flying.
Yeah.
Like Lunark Mantle, you can pay one and sacrifice a permanent to give the creature flying. Usually, you know, we say don't take those because you're opening yourself up to being 2-for-1 if your opponent has removal.
Right. So if an opponent casts a bounce spell on your creature, for instance, or a kill spell, and your creature is enchanted with Lunark Mantle, for example, you've just lost 2 cards in that equation. Your opponent has lost 1. That's why we call it a 2-for-1.
Yeah. So in those kinds of cases, it's like, all right, this isn't good. But at the same time, if you don't have great creatures and you're not having a great strategy for closing out your game, sometimes you can say, do you know what? I'm going to put this +2/+2 and sometimes flying on a creature, and if they can't answer it, I am going to win that game.
Right, exactly.
And I'm going to win it pretty quickly.
And we should mention that we're not talking about necessarily cards like Choking Restraints, which is also an aura, because you're enchanting your opponent's creatures with that, or Sleep Paralysis, for example.
Like, obviously not removal enchantments. Yep. We're talking about, like, boosts to creatures that you control type of enchantments.
Right. So what he did is what exactly Megan said. Maybe my creatures aren't the best, but I'm going to boost them up. High risk, high reward. Do you know what happened?
He won that frickin' GP.
He won the GP.
Yeah, he sure did.
Which just goes to show you that sometimes if you pivot early enough and make the decision to go big or go home, as you said, it can really pay off. Like, people need to answer a creature that's got a +2/+2 on it and has the ability to fly. Like, you do have to kill it.
Yeah. And so all of this isn't to say, like, obviously there is the calculated part of the risk. Like we said, he still had a game plan, which is that I'm going to make some creatures that they're going to have to answer quickly or just be dead.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big difference from just being like, well, I'll just take, you know, all of the one drops and maybe I'll flood the board with one drops. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's still a focus strategy. It's just one that goes kind of against traditional thinking in terms of, like, what's the best thing that you want to be doing in draft.
As Magic players who have been playing for a little bit of time, sometimes we can get into our heads and say, oh, I'm not going to take these cards unless they're really great. And then when our draft kind of goes off the rails, we give up hope and we're like, ugh, I'm just going to drop or whatever. Or I'm going to play one round, lose, and just get out of here. When what maybe we should be doing is try and challenge ourselves to level up our thinking into how can I turn this to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I think people can think of a lot more often in Sealed as well, because Sealed is where you hear the most moaning, of course, when people have a bad pool, which, you know, of course, we've all been there, okay? We've also had the greatest pool in the history of Magic. Check out Pearly's story a couple episodes ago. But there's a school of thinking in Sealed, if you don't have a strong deck, to just make it aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't be big and beefy, which is what you normally want to be in Sealed, try and be really lean and mean and get wins in there when your opponent stumbles and doesn't have mana,
mm-hmm.
or when your opponent's waiting till turn four to cast their first creature.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another
example. Although, don't make a deck that can't cast a creature until turn four. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's probably not a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
I mean, Sealed tends to be slower, so sometimes people take more risks like that. Like,
that's a bad idea, you guys. I'm saying it right now. It's a bad idea. Your creature curve starts at four. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Or keep a hand, for instance, that has a four drop, and you're like, I'll be fine.
Oh, that happens sometimes, yeah.
You know, so that's just another way to think about it. Like, how can I work with this? Work with me, people. Make it work.
Yeah.
To quote the wonderful Tim Gunn.
One of the examples of this that I've encountered recently is that I'm doing a Sealed League for Eldritch Moon Online. And I built two decks, as you can in the Sealed League, which is super cool. It lets you look at things comparatively very easily, which I love. And so one of the ones that I was first drawn to was a black-white deck, because it played a lot of, like, my rares. Which weren't, like, crazy bombs, but were very good.
Under the floorboards.
Exactly. Under the floorboards, I think, was one. Distended Mindbender, which is actually just, like, a bomb.
That's a sick bomb.
And then it had three Ironclad Slayer and two Boon of Emrakul, plus a Midnight Scavenger.
Queen!
Right, so looking at that, it's like, oh, this is very traditionally good.
Right.
But it also kind of had a hard time closing out the game. Which is why I was like, I'm going to keep building decks and looking at these. And I found a blue-red deck that had two Thermo Alchemists, only 12 creatures total. So it's like a pair of Tattered Haunters, a pair of Thermo Alchemists, and a couple of other creatures up the curve, you know. And then it just had so much removal and so many ways to enable madness. It had, like, Fiery Temper. It had the Alchemist's Greeting, and it had a pair of Alchemist's Greeting. And then it had lots of card draw, like two take inventories. I was actually playing Trail of Evidence in that deck because I was playing so many spells. And there was a point in time where I had like six clues in play just because I had been casting spells. It had the 3-mana sorcery that you can get an instant and a sorcery back from your graveyard and then discard a card, which in this deck was just like disgusting. And so it's not a traditional Sealed deck at all. It isn't really super beefy, but at the same time, what it, like, the advantage that it had over the black white deck is I felt like it had such like so much of a clearer plan on how to win.
Right.
It's like, oh, I'm going to play these Tattered Haunters and get them in the air. I'm going to play these Thermal Alchemists. I'm going to ping them to death.
Yeah, Thermal Alchemist, really a card that's kind of starting to be one of the all-stars, one of people's favorite cards. Mm-hmm. Breakout, a breakout star. That's the word I'm looking for from Spooky Moon.
Yeah. So yeah, and like so far that deck has just been like kicking ass.
Yeah, I've seen it in action, mm-hmm. you guys. It's the real deal.
I beat a Resolve Mirrorwing Dragon that was in play for like 6 turns. And people are like, oh, did you like use like the treachery effect? And it's like, no. I just pinged him to death.
I had like, Thermal Alchemist. I didn't care. Those things whatever. Are 0-3. They block for days and then they turn sideways and they kill you in a whole bunch of ways. Mm-hmm. That was some sick rhymes. They really only kill you in one way through 1 point of damage.
By pinging you to death. Yep. And I had so many spells I was usually doing. Like, there were times when I had, like, a pair of Thermal Alchemists, and I would cast a spell on my turn and a spell on their turn. So I was, like, pinging. I could ping for, like, 6 damage across my turn and my opponent's turn.
Pingers are the real deal in Sealed.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, I rhymed again. I really didn't try that time.
So anyways, it was super sick, and it's definitely, like, I would not qualify it as a super traditional Sealed deck, like the type that you talked about.
Right.
But it's great.
You know, I would encourage everybody to go out there and check out Scott Lipp's Top 8 Draft from GP Sydney if you haven't had a chance to look at it yet. It's really a good exercise in making the best out of what could have potentially been a disastrous situation. Mm-hmm. And then just watch him play a couple of rounds with the deck, too. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Twitch.tv/magic is where you can find all of that.
I would also say sometimes that you can make calculated risks. We've mostly talked about limited.
Yeah.
But like sometimes metagaming decisions that you make before you go to a tournament could be called a calculated risk.
Absolutely.
If you decide not to play what's traditionally thought of as like the best deck, but you're going to play something that's really good against that deck, but maybe weak to other decks in the field, that's a type of calculated risk that you can take. You can, like, I would say, like, sometimes shaping your sideboard for a tournament is very much a calculated risk because you're taking essentially a guess at what you think the rest of the field's going to be.
Yeah, you are.
And shaping your plan around that. And then, I'll go into one more story.
Yeah, do it.
But when we were playing GP Minneapolis, I was playing versus a white weenie deck. And I had...
Was this versus me?
No, it wasn't you. It was way earlier. It was early in day one. Middle of the day in day one. And so it was game one, right? Which is really rough anyways. And I'm trying to think. Like, I was doing okay. I had almost stabilized, but I wasn't quite there. And most importantly is I think what happened is I had languished on 4, but my opponent had at that point flipped a Kithian into a Gideon. And I had a Sorin in hand that I was like, if I can just get to 6 and cast this Sorin, then I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
But I only had, I think, like 4 or 5 lands and not another one in hand. And I kept bricking. And earlier in the game, I had had a, what's the 2 in a black? A Read the Bones.
Yeah.
In my hand since the beginning, which I hadn't used because usually, you know, it's like, oh, they're trying to kill me as fast as they can. I'm not going to, you know, help them out and deal 2 damage. But, okay, so this is how it works. Interestingly, I ended up losing, right? And the next turn I would have drawn a land for Sorin. Also, the last, like, chunk of damage dealt to me was when I was at 4 life.
Mm.
So if earlier in the game I had taken a risk and cast that Read the Bones anyway, saying, like, hey, it's going to be really important for me to get to 6... I would have gone down to 2 life, but then I would have had that land in my hand because I would have dug to it earlier, and there's a chance that I could have won that game. So that's an example of, like, a corner case of a calculated risk in Standard.
Yeah, and we're going to have a whole new Standard to talk about coming up after this weekend. So, I'm really excited. Pro Tour Sydney. Potru Eldritch Moon, I should say, on the horizon. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a chance to see some sweet new decks.
It's going to be awesome.
And some sweet new calculated risks that people are, I'm sure, taking in what they bring to Pro Tour Eldritch Moon as well.
Are you going to be the one to beat Band Collected Company?
You better
be. Are you, buddy? Are you?
Because it's got to be somebody. Because I'm not going to sit there through a billion rounds of Band.
Will you answer the call? Will you hear it?
Ring, 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 ring.
Hello?
Hi, it's me. I'm a deck that's not Band Company.
I accept this call.
Yes! Yes, national hero, international hero, I should say.
Yeah.
Congrats, of course, to friend of the show, BBD, on locking up a berth at the World Championships.
That's right. He is officially the Grand Prix Master.
Oh, that's awesome. What
it's
a title.
Super cool. So, yeah, as you said, congrats to him. And it'll be super exciting to watch him play at the World Championships.
I know. It's coming up.
If you haven't seen the Magic the Pro thing with him, go check it out.
Check it out, you guys.
He's great.
Tolarian Community College on YouTube. GP Sydney.
And Montreal.
And Stockholm.
That's right, everybody. There were three, count them, three.
They
How
always
many?
Come in threes, don't they?
That's right. Just like a couple of other things.
Like dead celebrities.
What?
They always come in threes.
I think we're on like six for this year.
But they,
I
come,
guess that's
they
two
come in
sets
chunks
of
threes. I shouldn't say chunks.
Chunks.
I don't know what else comes in threes. The Holy Trinity.
The Titans.
Eyeballs. Haven't you heard of the third eye?
Yeah.
Well, legs.
You want to explain that one?
On a tripod.
Tricycle wheels.
Very
always
good.
Come in threes.
So three GPs. What more could you ask for in life? Not much.
Yeah.
Megan and I watched the GP Sydney coverage.
Yes, we did.
Because that was the event that had video coverage this weekend.
Yes, it
was pretty sweet. We just talked about Scott Lipp and his winning draft deck, which was pretty cool.
But. What deck did he beat with that green-white draft deck?
Another really sweet deck.
An insane deck.
This deck I would never have drafted in my entire life. I'm too scared.
How many colors?
Four?
Four colors. Count them. How many? Four.
They
That's
always
right.
come in fours.
Fours. Everything comes in fours. Wheels on a tricycle.
What you yell at a golf course.
Legs on a tripod.
Some kind of small desserts.
Eyes.
Eyes do not come in fours unless you're half a spider.
Aren't we all just half spiders, really?
That is the scariest thing you've ever said on this show.
The scariest thing I've ever said is, aren't we all half spiders?
I'm scared of spiders.
All right.
Aren't you?
Aren't
Don't
you?
Act like you are best friends with spiders up
You
in
shouldn't
here.
Be afraid of spiders. You're half spider.
Oh my god, no.
You're a half spider. Anyways, it played Tameo Field Researcher.
Oof, yeah.
And also Emrakul, The Promised End.
Whoa, talk about having it all and eating it too.
Yeah.
Which is almost a saying.
That's almost a saying. That's very true. Besides that, it was a collection of creatures and removal spells and
yeah.
spells. And, you know, sick planeswalkers and giant flamplers.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because if you think about what happened to Scott Lipp, like he wasn't getting clear signals or whatever. I'm not
yeah.
exactly sure where he was sitting.
In relationship to this person who was also, it seems, not getting clear signals. Or was just like, I like this card. I like
yeah,
this card
Yeah, I mean,
also.
Like if you take
I
Tameo
like this
up,
card.
Why not take Emrakul, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Interestingly, playing two Terrarian.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy.
I mean,
makes a lot of sense.
Makes you sack it, play two and sack it, you get two colors of any mana and you get to draw a card.
Yeah.
Only costs one, so you're not sacrificing too much, pun intended, by playing it in your deck. But
it also adds a card type for Emrakul.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of like sort of dirtling around and flying around and mm-hmm. hoping to cast big things. Got
or
second.
Just some sick planeswalkers.
Yeah, and so this was Jan Cassander. Of the Czech Republic, who lost in the finals.
Pretty cool, though.
Pretty darn cool. I know that Ben Stark was playing an aggressive red-white Boros deck with three copies of Ride Down in it.
Holy cow.
Like,
nothing gets to block.
Like,
nothing.
Don't block.
Ever.
It's gonna die.
Yeah, obviously the key in this deck is to just never block it.
Yep.
You're really gonna show him with all those Ride Downs in hand.
Like, once you've seen the second one and you're like,
Block, right?
Yeah.
Right?
This can't possibly die.
Can't have a third one.
I actually drafted a Boros deck the other night, Megan.
Yeah.
When we were having couch draft 2016, mm-hmm. meaning we were sitting on the couch drafting while watching coverage.
That happened.
And it was Boros, and I had two ride downs because nobody else wants them, and nobody hates drafts them because nobody thinks anyone's going to play them.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
That was kind of funny. So those were some decks that were a highlight for me in the top eight of GP yeah. Sydney.
They were pretty cool. We also had a couple of 9-0 decks from day one
yeah.
in Montreal that we're going to take a quick look at, including this first one from Felix Say. Who was playing sort of like a green-white aggressive deck with Thalia.
It's a good card.
Yeah.
So I hear.
I mean, whatever.
So this is important to think about, too, if you are wanting to go to your local PPTQ
yeah.
and play sealed deck. To look at some of the decks that went 9-0 at Montreal, mm-hmm. Which you can find on the coverage archives on video. So
yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Like, this deck's pretty aggressive.
It is.
And a lot of times, like we said earlier, people don't necessarily associate aggro with sealed.
No.
But when you got it, you got it. And Thalia is certainly somebody that will help you get it.
Yeah. Look at that hair. It's like she's in a Pantene Pro-V commercial.
Can you imagine? Hi, I live in Innistrad. There's a lot of vampires and sloopy Eldrazi.
Oh, do you ever notice how many split ends you get when you've just been battling ghouls, ghosts, demons, zombies, vampires, and more?
Well, guess what? That doesn't have to be the way it is.
I have the shampoo and conditioner. It's a two-in-one just for you. Because who has time to both shampoo and condition when at any moment you might be attacked by a monster?
Nobody has that kind of time. Also, I have two kids. Look at my body. You couldn't tell.
Thalia has kids?
I mean, I was just making a commercial.
What? They don't ever say that in commercials.
They don't, but I, like, assume it.
You assume that women in commercials have kids?
For shampoo.
What? Oh, you're right. You're right. Childless women don't wash their hair. I forgot. That explains why I haven't ever shampooed in my life.
I can't really explain what I mean. But for me, it's always like, I'm a busy lady. And, like, I don't know.
No, like, I totally get what you're saying. Like, only women with kids wash their hair. That's the lesson that I'm taking from this.
Let's look at another 9-0 deck from John Severin.
What if I just keep giving you shit about this instead?
Fine.
This is also a green-white deck.
Yeah. I mean, maybe green-white's the real deal.
Maybe it is, because it also has a slightly more aggressive bent, including a copy of Lambhold Pacifist.
Oh, yeah.
The sick-ass rare Tireless Tracker.
Yeah, I mean,
what a card.
What Noose Constrictor over here as well.
Yeah.
Holding its weight. How do you feel about Spectral Reserves? Three and a white for makes them 2/2 spirits.
And you gain 2 life. Do you know what? I have generally liked it. I had it in a draft deck the other day, and I was satisfied to cast it.
Yep.
I wouldn't be like, woo! But I'd be like, yeah.
Question. What is your favorite breakout card? Is it Thermo Alchemist right now?
Oh, that's a really good question. No, it's right now it's Lone Rider.
Lone Rider's my favorite too.
This deck has Lone Rider in it.
You guys, I am serious when I tell you that Lone Rider is insane.
It's just bonkers.
It is not hard to gain 3 life in a turn in this format.
No.
Not hard. There are so many different ways you can do it.
Like Lone Rider plus combat tricks is just an archetype.
Yes, so I drafted a deck the other day where I had 2 Lone Riders, and this was incorrect, but I think almost correct, where I played
Chaplain's Blessing. I remember because I was highly disappointed
yeah,
in
you. Yeah, you were. But let me tell you, I was like, the benefit of getting those Lone Riders flipped on turn 3 is so strong that I'm going to put this card in my deck. I actually sided it out because I didn't really need it because I had enough ways to trigger the life link the life gain. So, but like, honestly, I am not messing around. When this thing flips on turn 3, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
That's if you don't have choking restraints,
you're done for. Or like, drag under.
Sure, drag under.
Is all right.
But, like, it's still coming back.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the real deal, and it doesn't look like it when you first look at it.
No. And I think people were talking about it this weekend, like, oh, I'm not sure if it's, you know, as good as it seems. So,
it is. It's a very good card.
There's a high correlation between playing this, having it flip,
and winning. winning a game of Magic.
Yeah. So there you go. That was another one we saw. Mm-hmm. Let's see if there's another one hiding in here.
Oh, also, he also had Heron's Grace Champion, which is quite good.
Oh, this is a deck from Jamie Maddle.
Madill? Madill? Maddle?
Not sure. Imprisoned in the Moon
Jamie
in this deck.
Jamie Mad-ill.
He's Mad-ill! He's got mad magic skills.
That's right.
Man, going 9-0 on day one of a GP. Can you imagine what that feels like?
No.
Like, probably a massage in Iceland, like, where there's, like, a hot spring happening next to you, and you've got, like, a champagne, and there's somebody playing a harp.
What if I'm just in the hot spring, so and, like a stranger isn't touching me?
Who said anything about a stranger?
You said you were getting a massage.
Yeah. From trusted compatriot.
Okay, that's fair.
And also someone's feeding you fondue.
You know, the only massage therapist I've ever super liked, and I wish it wasn't the case because she had a kid and then, like, doesn't do it
anymore. Did she wash her hair?
Yeah, she does. Now she washes her hair. She didn't before.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew her before she had the kid and she wasn't shampooing.
What's your story?
No, you know, our friend Ellie.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't do it anymore.
Yeah, she doesn't anymore because she had a kid. But I was like, that was the happiest that I've ever been. Seeing a massage therapist.
I thought you were just gonna stop a sentence right there.
The happiest I've ever been. Period.
That was
no, because I knew her, so I was like, "This isn't weird."
You know, sometimes when I go to massage, it's like if I don't know you, I feel a little more comfortable.
Really, it was the because when she had her kid, like I tried to go see someone else because I had messed up my neck also, and it was just like it was not. I was not cool. I was like, no. And she was so nice. The other woman that I saw was, like, so nice.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't.
I mean, isn't there merit to being like, you're a stranger. I can tell you to just, like, take a hammer to me and it'll be fine.
No, because that's what I liked about Ellie is that she did press really hard anyways.
She did. Anyway.
Because I feel like strangers would never press as hard as they wanted them to. Just be like, stand. Yeah.
I need you to beat me with a baseball bat.
Take your elbows. Put your elbows on my back.
Do you know I got a massage from a nun once?
What?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know. She wasn't wearing a habit. That would have been kinky.
I wish. That's weird.
Now that I think about it, there's so many strange things have happened to me in my life. When I say them, they sound like completely ridiculous lies.
Oh, that's not like the most ridiculous thing you could have said.
That's true. I got a massage from a half spider.
We're all half spiders, so you did.
Anyway, Jamie's deck.
That was a really weird tangent, even for us.
Yeah, it was.
Anyways.
Yeah, imprisoned in the moon.
Nice.
Drag under, nagging thoughts.
Yeah.
Aim high, spreading. Ooh. Whoa, splashing for spreading flames.
Yeah, Wretched Griff. I've liked that card a lot.
That card's great. I mean, who doesn't want a 3/4 flyer that draws you a card?
I always want a 3/4 flyer that draws me a card.
This deck's also playing Lashweed Lurker, Enlightened Maniac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tattered Haunter. This deck seems good as well.
Yeah.
Solid.
Pretty sweet, man.
So, yeah, that's fantastic. A lot of great magic happened this past weekend.
Check those out online.
Check them out on the interwebs, which is a place where knowledge abounds.
And gets dropped. For someone else to catch.
Oh, yeah.
That's how that phrase goes.
The internet's a big knowledge catcher. And has a lot of naked people on it.
Yep. As we mentioned, we've been drafting a whole bunch this past week.
Probably not.
So we can just run through some highlights real quick.
Yeah. Highlights for children.
I drafted a black-white deck that had 2 Ironclad Slayer and 2 Boon of Emrakul and a Murder. And sick. I just crushed.
Ironclad Slayer, we should point out, is another all-star of the format
right now.
Oh, that's
true. And like that particular pairing is just disgusting. Mm. It's so good.
A lot of people are saying black-white is the strongest color. I'm not sure if I think it might be too early to call on that.
Yeah.
But I think it's very strong.
It is. It is really good. And I had a lot of fun. Like I said, I just ran over. I just like, there was nothing that happened that I was worried about. There's nothing
that
they
feeling.
Can do. I was just like, whatever.
Isn't that great? That's what I was talking about, the feeling when I was playing White Weenie at the GP in Minneapolis. I was like,
yeah.
I'm not worried about anything.
Like, whatever you do, I'm pretty confident in my ability to win this anyways.
Yes.
Like I did.
I drafted a green-black delirium deck the other day, which is totally not something that I usually do. I don't usually draft green-black. Mm-hmm. And I was like going all in on delirium because I had Liliana's Elite, which gets +1/+1 for every creature card in your graveyard, costs 2 and a black.
Yeah.
So you got to be going deep.
I've seen, I lost a game to a deck playing that card.
Yeah.
It had multiple copies of it.
Ooh,
it was insane.
That's cool.
And it was like the first one was like a 10-10 and the next one was like a 12-12 because it was a late game.
Yeah, I played a Vessel of Nascency. Is that it?
Yeah.
The green one? And other various other delirium enablers, including the enchantment that at the top of your turn puts 2 or 3 cards in your graveyard if you want.
Oh, okay.
Just to enable that, I had the 4/5 flyer that comes out cheaper with delirium.
Yeah.
Various other delirium enablers. I was not expecting to win with that deck. But I did.
It's
real.
It's pretty good.
We streamed the other day.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. If you didn't catch it, of course, you can go to twitch.tv/magicTheAmaturing and check out our past broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
We drafted a really sweet blue-green Emerge deck.
Yeah.
3-0.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The other night, I drafted a blue-black Emerge deck that had no fewer than 4 Emerge cards.
Sick.
It was really cool.
What was your best Emerge?
You know, I don't want to say it. Because it's Abundant Maw.
Oof,
we all know
Megan.
How I feel about a Merge Rhino.
Leech Rhino. That sounds a little traitorous to me.
I know, but it was so good. And then also Wretched Griff. Like, that's probably...
Oh, yeah.
Like, honestly, at the end of the day, that's probably just it.
I Abundant Maw somebody to death. Like, I think...
I did that a couple of times.
I think I had 4 cards left in my library, and I knew it was in there. So I was like, you think you're going to mill me out, but
nope.
You're just going to die.
Oh, man. This is actually, so my opponent also played, like, I played an Abundant Maw and then they played one. And then this is, I have had now had the pleasure twice of drafting decks that I call the B-list rares deck. Because it included Gyre Reach Sanitarium and Welcome to the Fold.
Nice.
Which, Welcome to the Fold, I've been getting it, like, 5th pick. And, you know, obviously it's in Pack 3 and Shadows. And it's just, like, if you just cast it for its regular cost of 2 blue-blue... It's, like, very good. You just get to take a creature, and you also gain a creature because you're gaining control of it. And then, like, with Gyre Reach Sanitarium, I just took their Abundant Maw. Because it was late in the game,
Yoink.
And I had so much mana in play that I could just take it for its madness cost.
What's
and I was like,
the blue card where they decide the 2 piles?
I don't remember.
Hold up.
And I don't know.
Starts with an F.
Forgotten.
First research. First Business. What a terrible name for a card.
Oh my goodness. First Business.
That's in the business set. that's coming up. After the Huey Lewis in the News 80s band theme set, of course. And the waffle set, which you've invented.
Yes.
We have lots of good ideas, Wizards. Call us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to mention this card because we played it in our blue-green Emerge deck.
And I've played it in other decks, too. It's a lot of fun.
I love this card.
It's
Fortune's favor.
Yep.
It's total mind games.
It's so weird.
Because, okay, target opponent looks at the top 4 cards of your library and separates them into a face-down pile and a face-up pile. Put one pile into your hand and the other into your graveyard, 3 and a blue, instant. So it's an instant, which is, you know, good. But also, like, you can see what we had, like, these conversations on stream because we played it mostly for fun. But it ended up actually being just totally fine.
Yeah, it's a fine card.
Are they messing with us?
Yeah.
Did they put 2 amazing cards face down? Like, so far that hasn't been the case. So far they've tried, I think, to separate all the times that I've seen them play, tried to separate them so that you don't have a super sweet pile.
It's about even.
Yeah. But I want it to happen sometime where it's just 2 friggin' bombs that are face down and you're just like, choose, my friend.
Yeah. I had one. The worst one that I had was, it was 4 lands. So they showed me 2 face up lands and I was like, I'm going to take the face down pile, but it's going to be 2 more lands. And I was correct. I was like, yeah, that's just how that goes.
I mean, there's nothing else that it could have been.
No, there was nothing. If you show me 2 face-up lands, what hasn't happened yet is anything that's not 2 and 2.
Yeah.
Which I would love to see.
1 and 3.
Giving someone 1 face-up card that's a spell, and then 3 face-down cards, and those are all lands.
Oh, that would be
like,
really...
Can you imagine that?
Sick.
Separation? Like, what do you do if someone shows you, if someone gives you the pile that's 1 face-up spell
like,
and
what's
3 face-down
card?
Cards?
Is it something, like, good?
We'll call it... It's like... How about Weaver of Lightning? the 1/4 with reach for 2 and a red that when you cast an instant or sorcery, face down. Pings. And 3 face down.
I'm just taking 3 face down. Because, like, I just want to know. Just really.
You want to know.
I'm greedy. Okay, the 1/4 I'm not bent out of shape
about. It's a fiery temper and 3 face down cards.
Whoa. I'm taking the fiery temper.
I want to keep playing this game.
What if it's a Geist of the Archives?
And 3 face down cards? Oh, snap! I take 3 face down cards.
Oh, shoot! Okay, what if... What if it's 3 face up cards and 1 face down card? The face up cards are like Geist, fiery temper, and like...
I'm already taking the face up pile.
But what if you have like a mega bomb? What if you have Gisella in your pool?
I don't care. I'm taking the face up cards.
Oh, I love this card.
Like, that's just so much card advantage.
Yeah, that's true. You gotta weigh that.
Do you know what? Gisella dies to fiery temper.
She does.
So I'll take dies the card that kills her.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. If you've had a really cool fortune's favor, tweet at us at MTAcast. Yeah. I want to know.
So anyways, I've had a great time. People just keep passing me Gyre Reach Sanitarium. And every time I'm like, I'll take it.
I'll play that.
I'm already playing Madness cards anyway every time I take it. So I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, this format's sweet so far. Like, we've drafted it a bunch, and I think it's really fun.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah, great time with this format. Thumbs up from us. Eldritch Spooky Moon, you really make me feel complete. Not that I didn't, but without you. I'm a full person, okay? You're adding to my life.
I was just saying it as a nice sentiment, okay?
Now I sound like I'm such...
It's fine. It's fine.
Things are even better.
Do you know what? You also, at the same time, you don't need to act not needy for other people. Sometimes you need something.
Really?
Yeah, it's okay.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
We are the modern Bridget Jones Diary.
Oh my god, we so are. Okay, out of the two of us, who's Bridget and who's
Jones? What does that even mean? What does that even mean? It's time for a peek into our mailbag. But before we do, a quick clip that I recorded live at a draft at our LGS with Ben Jensen, who he was there. It was his first draft he'd ever done. And my first draft is a memory I hold near and dear to my heart. So I wanted to know how his first draft of the night was going. And he ended with a question for us. So take a listen to somebody who's a brand new noob, everybody. Brand new noob with a question for Magic the Amateur.
Okay, everybody. This is Maria podcasting live from a draft here at Mead Hall Games in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I found something in the wild, a player whose first draft it is. Tell me, what's your name?
My name's Ben Jensen.
So Ben, first draft, why the heck are you here?
I'm here because a friend brought me. And we went to the pre-release for, what's the new one?
Eldritch Moon.
That's it. We came to the Eldritch Moon pre-release, and I thought it was really fun. So I told him to invite me to anything else he goes to that was magic related.
So tell me this. Would you rather it was called Spooky Moon instead of Eldritch Moon?
That'd make it easier to remember, yeah.
Excellent. Correct. That's the right answer. So what do you like about playing magic?
I grew up playing card games like Yu-Gi-Oh!, and I recently got into Hearthstone, and this really reminded me of Hearthstone, but they were actually physical cards. So that's what I really like about Magic. It's like a combination of my favorite game and like physical cards where you get to collect and trade them or whatever.
How did you feel when you're drafting? Did you come in with any knowledge about how to draft? Did you watch any videos, read any articles? Did your friend coach you? How did you enter tonight?
I looked up what the heck is drafting, and I was like, oh.
Is that what you Googled?
No, not specifically. Sorry. I do regular Google searches, but I was like, okay, you pass to the left, you pass to the right, try to pick good cards. That's what I came in knowing. I didn't know many of the cards from the Eldritch Moon, but I do remember some of the cards that like I played against, so I was looking for those, but anyway, yeah.
How did you feel during your draft? Tell me all the emotions that course through your veins, because I need to relive my first draft vicariously through you. Go slowly.
Okay. Well, when I first got a deck for Magic, it was black-red, and I really liked the colors black and red, so I was
like, oh, give me a high five, those are my colors! Yes.
So I picked all the black and red cards I could find. So that was similar to what I did for the pre-release too. I was just like, black, red, let's go. And so yeah. I got too many enchantments. I'm like, shoot, I only have like 9 creatures total. And it was like the third round of cards. So I was just like, oh god, I have to get creatures fast. It was really stressful.
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing okay now, yeah. I found lots of okay creatures.
So what draws you to red and black?
I like aggressive decks, and that's what red is, right?
Yes.
Those are aggressive cards.
Red-black is well known as the most aggressive deck you can draft.
Yep. But unfortunately, a lot of these aren't very aggressive. I tried trading some of these out with the sidebar. My friend helped me try to find some better cards rather than... I had too many high-cost cards. I don't know. I didn't have a good curve. But,
well, you know about curve, so that's really good. You know about how red and black generally works really good. You said sidebar instead of sideboard, which was adorable, so I'm going to let you have it. What's, just as a newer Magic player, what's maybe the biggest question you have about Magic going around in your head right now?
When to attack and when not to attack. Because I just have so many creatures on the board, and I'm like, I'm not doing any damage right now. I should be... You know, it's different than Hearthstone, where you could actually, like, target creatures and, like, control the board. But with Magic, it's like, you have no board control unless you have, you know, removal spells. But, when should you attack? Like, when it's most advantageous, you're going to do damage, or should you be worried about blocking the most?
Great question, and Megan and I will now attempt to answer it for you on our show.
Okay, Megan, so his question is, how do I know when I'm supposed to attack? How do I know when I'm supposed to block? How do I know what I'm supposed to do in life?
Well, as to the third question, God, nobody knows, buddy. We're all just faking it real hard.
Yeah, we are.
But to answer the part that I can answer is, well, obviously you want to make attacks. I think the baseline is, do you have favorable attacks?
Yeah.
Which means, you're not going to be... chump attacking creatures essentially into their blockers. If you have a 2/2 and they have a 2/3 and you don't have any combat tricks in hand, you're not going to attack. And at the same time, if it's not profitable at all, like say they have a 1/5 and you have a 3/3, well, it's like you could attack, and you know, there's sometimes you might attack into that, but like baseline, you're usually not going to attack your 3/3 into their 1/5,
right? Unless you've got a lot of creatures and you super need to deal damage.
Exactly. Or maybe like you've had tricks in past games and they might be running scared if you've left mana up to represent a trick.
Yep.
So yeah, it's like, is it profitable? And that falls into, you're not just throwing away creatures and you have a reasonable chance of getting in damage or killing a creature.
Exactly. And I think this all boils down to what your deck's plan is. So I remember the deck he was playing. It was a pretty... Mm-hmm. It was attempting to be an aggressive red-black deck.
Yeah.
And the thing was, his creatures just didn't match up well against mine. Mm-hmm. Mine were a little bigger and beefier, so he didn't really have any good attacks. So I think that was part of the, like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know? And I think the answer to that is... when you're drafting your deck, make sure you're thinking about how your deck wins.
Yeah.
So if you want to draft red black, which is generally an aggressive quick deck, you need to think about grabbing those early creatures and a lot of them and backing up with some tricks to back them up so they can beat my fatties mm-hmm. in combat. And that's how you push through damage. So early on, so backing up, going back in time, think about your plan from the minute you sit down and crack that pack and start putting your deck together. Can inform later on, am I supposed to attack? Am I supposed to block?
Yeah.
What I should do.
Yeah. And then the next thing is, and this is a mistake that I still make sometimes if I'm not thinking hard enough, is sometimes I don't attack and I'm not going to block anyways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's worth it to ask yourself, like, okay. If I'm not attacking, am I blocking with this creature? And if the answer is no, then it's like, well, then why are you not attacking?
Exactly.
With it? And that's most applicable, I think, if your opponent doesn't have, like, all of their creatures are tapped. Like, maybe you're just trading damage back and forth, and you're like, well, I'm not going to attack. Maybe I'm going to block.
Yeah.
You need to make that decision now.
Exactly.
You need to think about, like, maybe you're like, I'm worried that they're going to have a haste creature and they're going to kill me. I'm worried that they're, you know, maybe they have some mana open. I'm worried that they have a flash creature. you need to make that decision then as you go into your attack phase. Because if it turns out that even if they have a haste creature, you're not dead, and you didn't want to block, so you're not going to block, well, then you just missed damage.
Yeah.
So.
And that's something, too, that takes a little while to learn. And you'll realize it, too, if you make a mistake and you haven't attacked. And then on their turn, you decide, I guess I'm not going to block. You'll be like, oof, that was 2 extra damage I could have had that I don't have anymore.
Yeah.
That goes along with thinking of your deck's plan and wondering about who is the beatdown. Identifying who is the beatdown in any given match. We've talked about it before on this show. And if you Google... who's a beatdown magic, you will find articles about that. And that's basically saying, who is the aggressor in the match?
Yeah.
So who is aggressing? Who is being more defensive and is on the back foot or potentially wanting to draw the game out so they can win later on
with a control deck? If your opponent is coming at you with 5 power worth of attackers every time and you have 3 powers worth of attackers, like, you're not going to be wanting to trade damage right now.
Yeah, you're going to lose that race.
You are quite obviously losing that race. Unless they're at 3.
Yep.
And you're at 20.
So if you've built your deck correctly and you're still kind of wondering, I think another question to ask yourself is, how do I win this game?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I lose this game? So do I win by attacking my opponent consistently with my creatures?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I win by staying back and blocking my opponent's creatures until I can kill them off, maybe by double blocking, or maybe by playing some combat tricks on their turn, and then later on playing my dudes when they're out of cards in hand, and now my dude is like a 5/4 and I can just swing freely. Yeah. Something like that. So, what?
Nothing.
Why are you laughing at me?
I think that, you know, all dudes just want to swing freely.
I've heard that it can be uncomfortable sometimes.
I also believe that.
Yeah. Sometimes you just gotta swing freely, you know what I mean?
I don't, but...
Well, ladies can swing freely, too. This is not just one-sided.
Oh, that's very true.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna talk about this, though, right now.
All right. It's fine. I tried, everybody. So those are just a few questions to ask yourself. Congrats to you, though, for coming out for your first draft and being, I think, pretty knowledgeable already on your first time going in.
Yeah.
You should be really proud.
Speaking of shout-outs.
Yeah.
Huge shout-out to Ruby.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She had an email a couple of weeks ago, if you guys don't remember, about being worried about going to GP Sydney.
Yeah.
And we said, be bold and go for it. And she did.
Yes.
She freaking went for it.
You guys, she played all 9 rounds day 1.
All 9 rounds. Kick-ass, Ruby. We are so proud of you. And she said that she had a great time.
Yeah, she loved it.
And so we super hope to see you out there. And one of these days, we're going to see you in day 2.
That's right.
And it's going to be baller.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Let me tell you something. Until Minneapolis, I never played all 9 rounds of day 1.
Yeah, me neither.
So you are...
Shame on us.
You are already showing us up.
You already shamed us hard.
She represented with our t-shirt at the venue.
Next time I feel not playing all 9 rounds, I'm going to think of you, Ruby.
That is right.
And I'm going to be like, don't you give up like that.
Yep. If Ruby can do it, so can you.
That's right.
Here's an email from Zach. Hi, Maria and Megan. I have 2 primary play groups, and both groups have a similar problem. Typically, one player who has the most disposable income plays decks which are difficult for other players in our group to deal with. Have you ever had this problem before? Sometimes both groups will draft Cube, which we all love, but when we are playing Constructed, we usually run into this problem. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, I would suggest maybe setting what you could call like a... setting your own format, essentially.
Yep.
One such example is Pauper, which is a very common, like, kitchen table format.
Yes.
And, like, maybe you guys want to do, like, commons and uncommons. Maybe you wanted to do something like what Canadian Highlander does, and you can assign point values to certain really powerful cards, and you can say, okay, players only get to have so many points.
Right. That's like, yeah, Canadian Highlander.
Yeah, exactly. So those are just a couple of ways that you could set a format, essentially, even though it's not, you know, like a sanctioned tournament format.
You're doing your own metagame.
That's right. If you're playing casual, you play how you want.
And also, consider proxies. I mean, maybe your friend can buy the actual deck, but what's wrong, in my opinion, with saying, hey, maybe we can't, like, you can go to a tournament and play with it, but, like, why don't we just make proxy cards?
If you're playing at your kitchen table,
yeah. and just test the decks against each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And then maybe I can make the decision to make the financial, like, contribution and go in on purchasing this deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, proxies are a great way to test out new strategies without making a financial commitment.
Correct.
But yeah, Pauper is a great format that if you need more advice about, Tulare Community College, the professor, have a lot of Pauper videos. Mm-hmm. He knows a lot about that. So go over there and check that out.
And like we said, the world is also your oyster. Like, yeah. You can also make up a format.
Which you is could
a really cool way to go about it,
or you could just do stuff like Winchester draft. If you only have two peeps, mm-hmm. where you're just drafting with a couple people, like you mentioned, cube. A lot of people have proxy cubes. Mm-hmm. So I mean, yeah, you could just throw some cards on the floor, and you know, play that.
Grab them like hungry hippos.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, that's from our mailbag. If you have any questions, email us, magicallyamateuring@gmail.com. I'm just debating reading this, but I'm going to. This person emailed us with the subject line, pre-release packs. I think it's just basically somebody who wants to confess to us like we're priests.
Yeah.
Just said, I'm sorry to have killed some angel wings, but my play group isn't big enough for a draft, and my nearest game store is too far away.
Didn't say what they did with them.
I assume they cracked them.
But I think
them.
We all know.
Yeah.
We know what you did, Ingmar.
We know what you did.
We know what you did.
Both last summer and the other day.
You can draft with four people.
You can draft with two people. Like I just said, Winchester draft is Google a two-person draft.
Google it, Ingmar.
Google it. Check it out. I've done it. It's fun, okay?
Angels need wings, too.
Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for watching and or listening to Magic the Amateuring. If you only listen, remember, you can watch it on Tulare Community College on YouTube. If you only watch, remember, you can listen to it in your ear holes with iTunes, Stitcher, magicallyamateuring.com, or other places that pirate it out on the internet that I don't know about. Oh, yeah, Google Play Podcasts on there, too.
If you neither watch nor listen, what are you doing right now? I'm very confused.
If you listen in the bathtub, on the toilet, in your mom's house, in the basement, in the washer or dryer, on a roller coaster.
Thank you to the person who sent us a video of someone in a dryer.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had that question.
Yeah.
We were like, we're certain someone's taken a ride. And then they sent us a video.
Yeah.
It was like one like at a laundromat that was like big.
Terrifying.
Yeah, no, I'm terrified. I was terrified. But you get to see them get out of, like, they're it's fine. Not for very long.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like,
well,
just very
God.
Brief.
Whew.
Remember that, though? Anyways.
Yeah, I do. So we're going to record some 5 extra minutes of content for people who are patrons.
That's right. If you're like, I wonder if it's worth it. Today we're going to be talking about just like any famous kinds of pears, like Brazella, for example, or Thelma and Louise, and deciding which one of us is which in any given pair. So if that sounds like something that you want to listen to, chip in just as little as $1 an episode. It goes a long way towards helping us sustain the show.
Yeah, and thank you to everybody who's done so far. Your support is appreciated more than you know, probably. Of course, find us on Twitter at MTAcast. Say hi to us online if you see us on Magic Online. And we'll see you around, you know, probably.
Yeah.
If you come out to some tournaments, you come out and play. If you come out to the internet.
If you're in Portland, come and find me. I will be at GP Portland next weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So this coming weekend is, of course, Pro Tour Eldritch Spooky Moon. Tune in to twitch.tv/magic to check it out. Of course, starting on Thursday night, they're going to kick it off with draft, which is
super
exciting because normally it's Friday morning and it's like, we're at work.
Yeah.
So you have to watch kind of on the DL.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like Thursday night party.
Yeah, man.
Break out those pizza rolls.
Australia.
And go to town.
We're going to eat so many pizza rolls.
Call me, Totinos. I'm being real. Call me.